Welcome to the Start Over Coder podcast. I am the Start Over Coder, and I'm taking you along on my quest, taking up a new career as a professional developer and pursuing financial independence. Today's episode is all about getting yourself recruitment ready. So whether you're actively looking for a job or not, there are a few things that I definitely think you should get in order to be ready in case an opportunity presents itself. And I think that you should do that because I learned the hard way this week what happens when you don't. And it's something that I knew ahead of time, but I didn't prioritize, and it caught me a little bit by surprise. So today I'm going to share the story about what happened. It was a bit of a fortuitous event, and what I learned from the process. And then in that, what you can do so that you can be ready ahead of time. So what is recruitment ready? The absolute basics are to have your resume or CV and a LinkedIn profile up to date and ready to go, ready to send at all times. So in addition to that, I also think if you are looking for web developer careers and jobs, then it's also necessary to have an online portfolio, which is just a website where you introduce yourself, your skills, you include some links of projects that you've done, code that you've written, some demos, if possible, of those projects, as well as contact details. Some people put a full copy of their resume on their site. And then, you know, any other links that introduce you and tell a little bit about what your skills are and who you are as a person. So that could be a blog, if you do YouTube videos, if you do a podcast, any of those things should and could be included on your personal website. And one thing about GitHub, so I would say definitely include a link to your GitHub repositories. And I've read in a few different blogs and by a few different people that some people say that you should just use that as your demo and you don't necessarily need a personal portfolio website. I think that's more true for advanced developers and definitely more for people who aren't doing front-end development. But if you are just getting started out, especially if you're doing front-end dev, then what you're likely to have on GitHub is actually probably not going to be ideal because maybe you're doing, like me, a lot of course exercises and course projects, which are really kind of just coding along with someone else. You're not really originating that code. So it's not necessarily the best demonstration of what you can do, what you've learned. And it's not really going to stand out very much from other people who are doing the same courses as you. That might be an even more important reason. So what you have on your GitHub may be not exactly what you want to show off. So that's why I say if you are getting started, having a personal portfolio website where you choose what you display is really important. And if that's something that you don't already have and are interested in doing, I did do a couple of episodes about this topic. So you can go back and listen to episodes 31 and 32, where I talked about how to actually host a website. And then episode 51, I talked about static site generators, which are a really super simple, quick and easy way to get a site up quickly and inexpensively. So go back and listen to those if you are interested in doing that. But basically, that is what it means to be recruitment ready. Having your resume ready, having your LinkedIn up to date, and having that personal profile site. And I knew this. This is something that I knew and kind of had on the back burner to do at some point. But I did not take my own advice. I did not have them ready in advance. And something happened this week that was actually really cool. And it would have been great to have already had taken the advice for myself. So as you know, my goal is to start working by the end of June. So by the first half of this year. And that could be freelance work. It could be full-time position. I'm kind of undecided and at the same time open to everything. And so I did have a personal portfolio that I finished just a few weeks ago, but I had not prioritized working on my CV and working on my LinkedIn profile. And I think the reason for that is because if you are transitioning from a completely different career, also if you're just starting out, so if you're, you know, just coming out of university, figuring out how to synthesize the information about yourself is really difficult. I mean, it's an age-old question. How do you add experience and talk about experience when you don't have any experience and you need the job in order to get experience? And not to mention the fact that with LinkedIn, you know, it's public. So I'm not in the stage now where I am 100% finished with my old job, with my old career, and ready to switch 100% into programming full time. So I don't really feel comfortable doing a complete overhaul of my LinkedIn. Not only does that raise red flags, but I've got clients now who I work with, and you know, that would just be confusing to them, I think, if they go on my LinkedIn and see something that's totally different to the capacity that they know me in. So for these reasons, it's something that I knew I had to do but hadn't really done. And then a random turn of events happened. So I got an email out of the blue from somebody. So I've mentioned before the workshop that I did over the summer last year, where we were working in small groups and we built a project from idea all the way through execution. And one of my teammates from that emailed me out of the blue, copying the head of HR for a company that I already had identified as one that I would really kind of target once I did decide to start a job search. And in that introductory email, she said she had said so many good things about me and she really thought that we should meet because I could be a good fit for what that person is looking for. And it was literally amazing, the fact that that happened. And I was so excited. And so then I set up a call with this person. We had an hour-long conversation about the role, about the company, about how my experience and my background could fit really well in that team. And it was fantastic. I was even more enthusiastic and excited about an opportunity to work there than I was before. And at the end of that conversation, it was, okay, so send me your CV. I will send around your LinkedIn and we'll speak next week about what we're going to do. So this was on Friday. I'm recording this on Sunday. And for Monday morning, that obviously needs to be in her email. So that's what I've been spending my weekend doing. And it's not an ideal situation because ideally I want to be able to put a lot more time and effort into constructing these documents that people are going to use to really judge my fit for their company and for any open role. And not only have time to work on it, but also have time to get feedback and kind of work it and rework it and make sure that things are really in the state that I would like them to be. And so having found myself in this position this weekend, I would highly, highly encourage you to get your stuff together because it's a bit stressful and it's not the way that you want to go about putting yourself out there for things that come at unexpected times. So that being my advice, what should you do? What needs to be done in order to get career ready? So for that CV and for the LinkedIn, my approach was to start with LinkedIn. And the reason for that is because it's broken into modular pieces. So for me, at least, looking at my resume and thinking of just completely rehauling the whole thing was actually a little bit overwhelming because it's like, where do I start? What do I need to include? How do I reword and reframe the experience that I have to be applicable to something that is a completely different field? And at least with LinkedIn, the sections are broken down. You literally just edit one piece at a time. So I started there because it was a little bit less overwhelming. And there are lots of resources that I found about specifically how people who are transitioning from one career to another can formulate these documents and formulate their LinkedIn profile to be more appealing and relevant for the types of jobs that you're likely to be going after. I will include some links to those in the show notes. But to go over the highlights, it started with first removing old positions. So I did have some jobs that were maybe like 3 or 4 jobs ago. And in my current career and in my current industry, they were actually, yes, they were old, but they were relevant and told a story about kind of where I came from. They were things that people in the industry would look at and say, oh, that's interesting, and would know the history of and things like that. So those were relevant in my current industry, but definitely not outside of it. And honestly, people outside of the industry would probably look at it and I just literally just have no idea what it's even talking about. So yes, they were old to begin with, but definitely with a new career in mind, just getting rid of those flat out. Then it comes to looking at the current position and maybe even one before. And for me, I kind of took the approach of looking at what the crossover skills are, what the things are that are most relevant in either field, and highlighting those. And I had been thinking about this kind of, you know, in passing here and there, and felt like I didn't really have that much. But once I actually stopped and had to do it, you know, different things come to mind, things about working with other people, really good communication skills, project management skills, And in my case, there was even a perfectly relevant example where I worked on a project to develop a website, go figure, with an agency that we hired in. And so while I didn't actually do the coding, I did go through the whole process of defining the requirements and figuring out what the look and design would need to be, doing that user acceptance testing. So I'd been through a process that in this company, they do just on the other end. So that was absolutely relevant. And so I included that on my LinkedIn for my current role. And not only did I include a description of that, but LinkedIn has a great feature where you can also add links in media. So in my case, that's a website, so I can link to the website to show a demonstration. And then, you know, you can, if you've got videos of things, presentations, you know, PDFs, PowerPoints, all of those things can very conveniently be attached to your LinkedIn profile, which is great. And then finally, the description section, I think, really is the best opportunity to kind of give a little bit of story and explain how the work history that you have, which may be completely unrelated, how it can and does relate to the programming field or whatever you'd like to get into. And then also that is the best place, you know, it's at the beginning. That's the best place to show what skills you have picked up. So I looked through a lot of LinkedIn profiles for developers. And one thing that a lot of bootcamp grads have in common is they just attack this section. And there are a lot of really good examples of how to list different, you know, technologies and things that you've learned. So if that's something that you're a little bit unsure of, if you just search LinkedIn for like bootcamp, a lot of people will come up, and just have a look through some of those for some examples. And then again, make prominent anything that is reflected in your portfolio. So you can link directly to your code, to the project demo. You can add a GitHub link. All of these things should be in that front descriptive section, because that's the first impression really that you give. And if you don't have a lot of experience like me, then it's really the only impression that you have to give to show what you're doing, you know, related to programming. And then the last thing I would just say is there's also the ability to add any certificates or media outside of your individual role. So if you have any certificates, you know, if you've gone through Free Code Camp, for example, or Udacity courses, and they give you a certificate, those are things that are absolutely fair game to add as well. Basically anything you can do to show that you are programming and showing off your skills. So once the LinkedIn is done, what I did next was write my resume. So ideally, I think it's probably best to start from scratch. You know, don't try to reformulate what you already have, and instead do something that is specifically geared towards programming. And at first, I felt like I really didn't have the luxury of time to do that in this particular case, but it really is, I think, the best way to go about doing it. And to actually build the content of the CV, you can then just take what you've written on LinkedIn, expand upon the things that you want to highlight more, cut down from things that you don't necessarily need to include, specifically things related to older jobs. And to be honest, I really don't have very much experience looking at developer CVs, so I highly, highly recommend doing more research on this topic and try to get feedback. So ask developers you know, people that you've met at meetups, put it out to your Slack groups, to Twitter, to professors, career counselors, parents, friends, literally anybody who will have an ability to give you objective feedback, and best case, if it's somebody who is familiar with developer CVs. And I got super, super lucky. This is what happened to me. So I put it out to Twitter. Does anybody have any examples of how I should do this or any advice? And after doing that, I got some really fantastic resources back. And also, amazingly, somebody offered to look at my CV, look at my resume, gave really good advice about how to structure the sections, how to highlight my programming experience, how to kind of right-size my work experience, because it is relevant. You don't want to just get rid of it entirely, because there are skills that are transferable between the industries. But, you know, you do want to also highlight all of the programming experience. So just finding that balance is really important. And I felt so, so grateful to get that advice before having to send it out. Because initially, like I said, I didn't really think I had time to redo the whole thing. And I sort of took a stab at reformatting my existing resume. And then once I kind of had that feedback back from other people, I was able to I literally scrapped the whole thing, started from scratch, and then in a few hours had a much, much better example to use. So definitely go out and get feedback, put yourself out there to strangers even. I mean, there are really nice people out there. And, you know, I'm early enough myself, so maybe I'm not the best judge, but I'm absolutely happy to take a look at anybody's CV anytime in the future. So, you know, feel free to send that over to me, startovercoder@gmail.com, because it was amazing to have that happen from a stranger, and I would love to do the same in return. So that is kind of the summary. Again, definitely do some research on how to get your LinkedIn profile up to date as a developer, get your CV or resume up to date as a developer, and most importantly, do it before you need to have it. And that way you can take the time to construct it in the way you want to. You can get feedback from people whose feedback will be valuable, and you'll be in a much better position should any amazing opportunities present themselves to you when you're really not expecting it. So that's going to wrap it up for this episode. If you'd like to leave a comment, you can find a link directly to this episode in the show notes, or you can tweet me at StartOverCoder. And if you like what you hear and want to stay with me on this journey of learning to code, starting a new career, and pursuing financial independence, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. You can do it through your favorite podcast app or visit startovercoder.com/subscribe. That's all for this time. Signing off.